Okay, welcome back to the Pirate Studios podcast. I'm here once again with Dan Davis.
Hello, hello.
I say once again, but this might be the first time considering we're recording in and out of order today. But Dan's the head of marketing at Pirate Studios.
Correct, yeah. Good to be back in Dalston.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're also here with Jay I Had a Dream.
Yo, what are you saying?
How you doing, Jay? Good?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. A bit tired from coming back from Barcelona, but good, in really good spirits. Yeah.
Ooh, Barcelona.
Yeah, I did my first international show at Razzmatazz, like, which is a big venue in Barcelona.
I know Razzmatazz.
Yeah, and it was sick. It was really sick. I did it with a sexy lady, massive, they're an all-female DJ, MC, dancing collective, and they just invited me to come through as a special guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
I know this is not about me. But I went to Razzmatazz probably about 15 years ago. It's the only time I went. I went with a band called Fortune Drive out of Bristol a long time ago. And yeah, they just like the hospitality there was amazing. They were just like, they sorted you right. I know it's similar, like sort you right out, everything taken care of. And it's such a sick club. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good first experience. I think they've set a high precedent for the other promoters because yeah, it was proper.
Okay, love it. Have you been to Razzmatazz, Dan?
I have not.
We'll go one day.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, please, absolutely. So, Jay, I'm going to jump in with our usual kind of quick fire questions, if that's all right. So the audience that's kind of gets to know you a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll ask these and then Dan and I will alternate with the questions beneath that. First up, tell us who you are and how you got to this stage of your career.
So I'm Jay, I Had a Dream, born in Cambridge, but my music was kind of raised in Nottingham. I'm a rapper, musician, performer. I think my performance is like a big thing that stands out. And I've always been an active listener. My mum used to play a lot of like Lauryn Hill, Kanye, A Tribe Called Quest, but then also like Bowie, ABBA, Michael Jackson and Tracy Chapman. And I used to just really be an avid listener when I was younger. And then when I started to get older, I started to write lyrics when I was like 14, 15. And then I moved to Nottingham for university, joined the Hip Hop Society, and things really took off. I feel like I always used to use all my spare time outside of uni to go to different cities, do open mics. And then when I left uni, it just started to grow and grow. And I think the big turning point for me was when I met Sir Spyro at BBC One Extra and we did a freestyle, and that kind of went a bit viral. And then, yeah, I was a teacher at the time. I quit my teaching job, pursued music full time. And since then, just been consistent and building my presence online and in venues and stuff. And yeah, it's just been really cool.
Love that. What story?
Yeah, nice. It's a big one. But
Yeah. And you mentioned a few things there, like some of that kind of, next question is how are you describing your musical style? But I wonder if some of the things you mentioned there kind of like shaped that.
I think a lot of the music that I've mentioned is very easy listening, but also quite introspective. I say like people like Bowie and Tribe Called Quest. And I didn't mention Nas, but Nas and Lauryn Hill, I used to listen to them a lot. And I think it's helped my ability to be vulnerable in lyrics, but also alongside the hip hop, which my mum showed me, I also listen to a lot of grime from my friends. And so I feel like my style is really a mixture of the American hip hop sounds, but also the UK dance music and grime, garage, just anything 140 BPM. And I think my music stands out because it's a mix of vulnerability, but also confidence and grit. And I think I like bringing stories that, for me personally, I haven't heard many female rappers talk about, like just day-to-day life stuff that I think a lot of the time female rappers are boxed into bragging about their sexuality or being heavily conscious but nothing in between. And I'm trying to kind of blend that a bit more and have a bit more humility and that kind of thing in my music.
Yeah.
And someone once said to me, actually it was Daniel Bedingfield, big up him, he said to me that when he hears my voice, it's like soothing, it's like a hug. But I also feel like it's a kick, depending on who the listener is.
Nice. Oh, that's straight, because he was in the studio recently. Were you with him?
Yeah, I was with him.
He was here, wasn't he?
Yeah, just after New Year's, I was with him in a session.
Because it came up on our company Slack.
I
was like so excited.
Oh, dope.
Is he like you like work with him on quite a lot at the moment? Or
we've just started working. He's been on to me for a while, but when he came down for New Year's after that, like my first session of the year was with Daniel Bedingfield, and it was amazing. He's so friendly and like his approach to music is so humanistic. I really appreciated that as my first session. It was like really eye-opening. And yeah, let's see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen with the music, but let's see.
Yeah, he just looks, and some of the interviews I've seen, in like such a nice person too, which probably obviously helps in terms of like really also helps. Being extremely talented too. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. He's very meaningful with his philosophy behind his writing and stuff.
Nice.
It's really interesting.
Great. Okay. And then, yeah, third of the quickfire questions. What is your... So usually I have what is your ultimate goal as an artist? It's funny, whenever I... Because predominantly we do this podcast in LA, where I'm based normally, and they're always like, ultimate? Oh my God, that's like crazy. What do you mean? I'm like, okay, so what is your goal as an artist? You know, tell us where you'd like to be in 5 or 10 years' time.
Yeah, so I think my goal is to just continue to be able to make music for a living and elevate my sound to wider spaces and audiences. I feel like my music can be quite validating for people, so I just want to continue to do that and continue to connect, create moments. I think I've had some really cool moments, but I really want to keep doing that. And within 5 years, I can't speak about 10 years, but within 5 years, I definitely want to be headlining Glastonbury. I did main stage Woodsies like as the ETC winner, but I really want to like... be on a bigger stage and headline within 5 years and also start to do some world tours and just keep building my team. I'm really building a team right now and I hope in 5 years it's more solid.
Yeah, definitely. I think we hopefully can talk about that Glastonbury experience a little bit later.
100%.
And we're going to share a bit of music too, aren't we, at the end too? Great, we can do that at the end and you can just introduce it.
Nice.
Over to Dan, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of touched on this a little bit in terms of, you know, your songwriting. It's very lyrical. There's a lot of kind of storytelling and so on there. Where do you find your inspiration for the things that you write?
It's really an interesting question because I think a lot of people think that you just sit in studio and you just write. But a lot of the times for me, it's like, and I was speaking to Isaiah Dreads, another rapper. We were in studio yesterday and it was so reaffirming hearing he approaches it like me. Like we'll be writing a lot of little lines here and there when we're on trains or traveling and reflecting on our days. And then when we're in studio, we'll be looking through those lyrics that we've wrote, like the starting lines of different potential songs and see what feels right. And sometimes it's inspired by the conversation in the studio. That a lot of times actually springs stuff to mind because I'll be talking to the other people I'm working with and we'll have like a common ground in something. But I do see writing as like a puzzle. Sometimes it's like I'm writing stuff and I'm trying to fill the missing pieces. It's hard to explain, but I think in 8 Mile, this is really weird, but in Eminem's film, 8 Mile, I love that film because throughout the film, at the start of the film, he's on the bus and he's writing and there are gaps in his lyrics. And then as the film progresses, he's filled those gaps. And that part of the film is exactly how I feel like I'm writing. Really, I just write how I feel. I don't hold back. Sometimes I find it hard to articulate myself in moments because it takes me a minute to process what people have said or a situation. And so being able to articulate it in lyrics with as much clarity or ambiguity as I want is really empowering. Yeah. So that's kind of my approach.
Love that. Do you write with like a beat in mind often, or are you just, the words are just on the page and then you kind of fit it?
A bit of both. When I'm just on the trains and starting those first lyrics and stuff, there's no beat. But then when I go into studio, I try and fit it into whatever BPM and see if it works and work out the syllables and stuff. Recently it's been really empowering because I've realised that whatever I write, I can shape it into different BPMs. And so that's been a new thing. And I've been a lot more free in studio. This last year, I've been working a lot more with people. And it's just been so validating working with other artists. I was quite an introvert with recording before. But now it's, I can see why everyone wants to go studio all the time. It's very reassuring.
Love it. Yeah. You mentioned 140 BPM. That's the one, like the other one you aim for, kind of your...
Naturally, I think if I'm writing, it's typically 140, especially at the moment. I think the festival season really inspired me. Like going to all the festivals just really made me realise that, wait, this 140 stuff, I can also bring in my consciousness. And actually, I think that's where I sit best. Like I really like it. And the way it makes me feel, the pace of it, it's just... yeah, it's too good. So I'm going to keep delving into that.
Good. Okay. Well, you mentioned Eminem. I need to rewatch 8 Mile now for sure.
It's
yeah. The next question is around musical influences. Is Eminem one of those?
I would say, to be fair, he definitely was earlier on, but I think people like Nas, AZ is one that people don't listen to as much, but he did a lot of projects with Nas and I love his sound. And Tribe Called Quest, Joey Badass was a big one when I was younger. I thought he was like top three, him, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole. I thought they were the top guys. Another one that people don't know a lot of is like Capital Steez. He was really close with Joey Badass, but he actually like passed away. But he's really, really good and conscious, but hard hitting. I just love music that makes me like, I believe you, I believe the story. Because I also listen to a lot of Tame Impala and James Blake, and just I need to feel I believe you. And those artists, even the Smiths, even though like, yeah, outside of music, I'm not sure about the Smiths, but it within the music, I really like what's said. And same with Kate Bush, like Wuthering Heights is one of my favourite songs of all time. And it's just the feeling, like I can't, yeah, you can't take that away from artists, no matter, even if their voice isn't great or even if the lyrics aren't all there, the feeling is irreplaceable. And yeah, that's what I'm drawn to.
Yeah, well, quite an eclectic range of artists there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Some of your favourites there, Dan.
Yeah, big Kate Bush fan.
There you go.
This is it's a tricky question, this one, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. Like, is there something that you're trying to kind of unlearn as you sort of grow in your artistry and as an artist?
That's such a good question. There's, yeah, definitely. I'll literally have like 2 days of not doing anything and I feel meaningless. Like, I'm such a workaholic. So one thing is like remembering that there are always things coming and everything I'm doing is contributing to the future stuff, even if there's a week where nothing's really going on, which rarely happens, to be fair. But I just get really, because this is my full-time job and I've only been doing it full-time for a year, I do feel sometimes a bit anxious if it's quiet even for a day, which is really a stupid toxic trait, because yeah, I'm really working hard, and actually that day off is probably really beneficial and just as helpful as working hard. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm trying to unlearn, is that yeah, to just not be so hasty with my career and just enjoy it and be more present and not think, oh, I've got to do this now, I've got to do that. Yeah.
I think it's quite a common trait with a lot of artists, particularly I find the ones who are really sort of making a go of it, is there is that kind of restlessness yeah. there, that just, you know, ideas can come from anywhere and anytime. And yeah, I guess, turning that off is probably quite hard.
Literally, I can't watch anything without thinking, oh, okay, so how will I apply this to this? Or like, so I'm trying to get better, but I'm going away on a holiday very soon that is intentionally to do nothing, and that would be really good.
Nice switch off. That'd be good. It's only like, we, as I mentioned, we were recording Plastician in the previous podcast, and it's a shame we didn't ask him that question. That is a great question. Shout out to NIV for adding that question. And I think also potentially the next one is come from her too. But yeah, he, because he's had a 25-year career. So I'm sure there's one or two things he probably has tried to unlearn or wanted to unlearn as he goes along. But it's also interesting to see, like, even now, like, you've got some things that you know, aren't quite right, and you want to like understand a better way to do that. So yeah, you're learning, and that's the most important thing. Awesome. It's me, isn't it? It's me. Okay. Another MV classic. When creating music or writing a song, do you intend for it to be listened to in a specific way or setting?
Oh, that's a... Sometimes more recently, I'm a bit more conscious about how will this sound with a crowd. I'm very conscious about how it will sound live. That's probably my biggest thing that I think about. I never try and say, oh, it's going to be listened by this person because, or this kind of person or for this kind of reason. Because I just like people to interpret it, like, once I let it out. But I think the main thing I do think about is how will this come across on stage and how can I enhance this for the live setting. And I'm trying to get better at bringing, as much as I'm very conscious, trying to get better at bringing some feel good and reassurance to what I'm saying and stuff. And I'm quite conscious about that, like the energy I'm pushing, giving off and kind of thing. Mainly I think about how things translate to the live. And I think about, like, because I use a live band a lot, I think about how I could add that to the songs I'm making and stuff like that. And also a kind of stupid one, but I'm trying to swear less because, thinking about radio edits and certain shows even, they prefer you not to swear and like things like that. So yeah, I'm trying to be a bit more conscious of that and how to say things in a better way. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to hinder your quest to swear less, but I kind of actively encourage it on this podcast. Yeah. It's a bit of a bugbear of the other people that come on here, the other hosts are like, Sammy, what the... so yeah, you can say what you want on this one.
Okay,
no problems. You mentioned your live band. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and maybe the process behind that? I think, did you say that you normally in Nottingham? Oh, that was off podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I've been working with my live band since I was 18. I'm now like 25. So we've been working for ages before I was even making proper songs. In Nottingham, they have really good connections between like the university and then just musicians in the city. So when I went to University of Nottingham and did the Hip Hop Society, a guy called T. Peters, he introduced me to some live musicians, and I did a show for him and did a live set. And then ever since then, I've kind of been working with my band here and there. We mostly did stuff in Nottingham. And then, our first show outside of Nottingham was at the Emerging Talent Competition final for Glastonbury and Somerset. And then we got through and then I brought them to Cambridge. And then, so it's pretty insane because we've literally done just shows in Nottingham and then Glastonbury. And then we did one thing in Cambridge. But it's really cool that I've got bass, guitar, one of my main producers, Zuta, he does the Zampler, which adds a lot of the PA sounds to the live experience. And then, drummer as well. And but we might add some new stuff. I've also done stuff with a string quartet and also Brixton Orchestra. So I'm the Grime Orchestra. So, I love bringing live instruments. And I think as a rapper, I think a lot of people don't do that till later on in their career. Like I'm seeing Getz and people do it more when they're bigger. But in Nottingham, it's really a thing that people do it from early. And I love that about Nottingham. So, I'm really grateful that I got involved in that early because it's been really sick for my career. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should tap into the Nottingham scene a little bit more with Pirate. Mm. Maybe see if they wanted to work together in a similar fashion to how we work with BIM.
Yeah.
Don't know how that might work. Anyway, that's one for off podcast.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Glasto like a couple of times. Can you tell us a bit more about what that was like?
Yeah, I go on about it. Sorry, but it was the most amazing thing in my life. It was really life-changing, like as just a consumer, but also as a, like mostly as a creative. Because I won the Emerging Talent Competition, I went to Glastonbury. I got a Woodsy's main stage set, but I also did four other sets because I thought, I was being offered all these sets and they're all on different days. And because there's so many people at Glastonbury, I thought, let me just do it. So I did three live band sets and then two PAs. It was really cool. I shared a stage with James Blake, Kneecap and Sampha, and I met James Blake, which was crazy. Oh. And it's just really cool. It was just the most surreal thing ever. And it really encouraged it gave me a sense of direction with sound when I was saying about the dance sort of sound and how to bring people together. It really gave me an insight into that. It was life changing. It opened up so many doors for me and it's still opening up doors for me. So yeah, it was really good.
Was that your first Glastonbury attending as well as?
It was my first. Wow. And I've hardly been to festivals because I've been in such grind mode. I'm such a workaholic. Like, I always said to myself, if I go to festivals, it'll probably be through doing the festivals. I think the last festival I went to was Reading Kendrick Lamar, which was like 2015.
Yeah, I almost remember that.
That was a while ago. Okay. So I'd done other little festivals, but nothing big. So to do Glastonbury and then be asked to do Boomtown and Reading and Leeds after that, that was crazy.
Wow. And playing the Woodsy stage too. I mean, that's huge.
It was really big. It was really great though. And the backstage was crazy. It was very spiritual. They were offering massages, Reiki and like all sorts of things. So I had loads of massages afterwards and stuff. It was so different world, utopia for sure. Yeah. Glastonbury. Yeah.
Do you get nervous before a gig like that?
Oh, I did. I definitely did for Woodsy's main stage. For the other ones, I was just like, I need to perform. But I think for Woodsy's, it was the last one as well. And it was on the Sunday morning. And we'd been through so much good things. It was just so emotional. But once I was on, it was great. And it's just the tension of I've got to go on, I've got to do the thing, the anticipation. But it's good anticipation.
Nice.
Yeah, Woodsy's, I believe, one of the few places you can get Guinness in Glastonbury.
Oh, really?
No,
yeah, really. Just
that's
so you know.
That's good to know from my Irish family. Yeah,
well, there you go. Also Gen Z. Yeah. And everyone in Gen Z love Guinness.
Yeah, so, they're loving it.
For next time. When you're headlining within the next 5 years,
yes.
Just remember that I told you where you could get the Guinness.
Yeah, I will. Okay? Shout you out.
Sounds good. In terms of shout-outs, this one is about up-and-coming artists. Anyone you've got your eye on at the moment? If so, tell us about them and what do you think, you know, kind of sets them apart from others?
Yeah, I'll briefly mention there's three different people. But
oh,
briefly,
you don't have to do a brief. You can go. We like this is so that, you know, the point here is to, yeah, let's give them a little bit of a spotlight. Not as much as we're giving to you, obviously. But yeah, you know, what is it that, go ahead.
So yeah. I think Luke RV from Wales, he is really putting on Welsh rap, I think. And he also is so versatile. Like, he's shown me some of his unreleased music and he's really bringing, like, I don't know, he's like merging this like 80s kind of sound with his rap. And it's just really special. Luke he's like the first person who, like, he's on a project with Manga Saint Hilaire as well as, like, he's really broke through and he's really, like, dedicated, but still I don't think enough people know about him. Everyone I've showed his music, whether it's my nan or, like, my younger brother, everybody loves him. He's very melodic, but also his lyrics are really, like wordy. Like, someone who likes bars will really appreciate it. I find it hard to like uplifting music and positive music, but his feels genuine and not like cringy. And his dedication to the music videos and his image and everything is really great. So definitely check out Luke RV. His voice is so original. And then the other one is Freefall. He's actually based in London, but used to live in Nottingham. He's a producer. He works with loads of different artists and he's just bringing such a different sound. Like, it's like 140 BPM, but it's like it sounds like Radiohead. It's really hard to explain, but it's really meaningful and it just gives me goosebumps, like those kind of sounds. And he's very mindful as well. Like, if you ever work with him, very mindful person. And then last one is Big Smash and Tyler the Artist. I want to represent Cambridge. Big up those two because they've really held up the Cambridge scene. While I was in Nottingham doing my own thing, they were continuing the music in Cambridge and doing all the shows and. Yeah, the quality of their music has always been really consistent. When I wasn't even mixing and mastering my music, I was looking at them like, wow, this is really impressive. So, yeah, those guys really are putting Cambridge on the map and Cambridge doesn't get represented a lot. So big up Big Smash and Tyler the Artist for sure.
Big Smash, Tyler the Artist. Okay, so I've got Luke Harvey, Freefall, Big Smash, Tyler the Artist.
Yeah, those guys are great.
What we'll do is we'll link to them in the podcast show notes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, whether, you know, you normally we just do Instagram. I presume they'll probably be on Instagram.
Yeah,
but,
they're all on IG, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Nice.
The last one, sorry, Tyler the Artist.
Yeah.
Cool name.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah. All right.
What's next for you? You mentioned you've been in the studio, you're looking at orchestras and all sorts of cool stuff. What's next?
So I've been working on loads of music all the time, so there'll be a lot of collaborations coming. But I'm really excited because I've always collaborated, but I feel like this year it's going to be, no offense to anyone else I've ever collaborated with, but these are people I've looked up to my whole life. Like, I'm now collaborating with people I won't mention names, but like, I'm collaborating with people I've worked with looked up to my whole life, listened to my whole life. So yeah, a couple of those songs will come out this year and I'm really excited. Working on a bigger body of work for myself. I've only ever dropped like small projects or singles, so I'm looking at a 10 to 12 track project. Some headline shows in the UK at the end of the year, looking around November, Cambridge, Nottingham and London. Because, yeah, I think that would be really cool. And, yeah, hopefully another... I did a vinyl for my last EP, so hopefully vinyl again and some merch. And, I'm excited for festival season. I'll definitely be at some festivals. And, yeah, just more rest as well. That's another thing. A bit more, like, after big moments, sitting down and celebrating. Yeah, rest and celebrations a bit more this year, for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, touched on a very important point there, like rest and recuperation. I know we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier and like just being able to switch off, so important. I'm glad that you know that now, because I know there's a lot of people who probably would just be like, no, we need to be working every second of the day. So I'm glad you're saying that.
Yeah, I need time to like actually reflect, to be more precise next time or have a better strategy next time. So yeah, definitely some rest and reflection. And
yeah, and it's almost just like, people have to do it in most like walks of life, but even just like the fact of taking that break and switching off, and it might just be like, right, I'm just going to do that and I don't even know what I'm going to do after that. I'm just going to take a bit of time to kind of, you know, relax.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I remember we did, this was a few years back now, but we kind of surveyed a lot of the artists using our studios and we were talking about burnout and issues, and it was something like, it was definitely over 60% of people artists that we surveyed said, I've definitely suffered burnout in the last 12 months, which is pretty, it's a pretty crazy number. So I think it's, Yeah, it's definitely good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, you know, like sometimes. I imagine going back to plastician again, but he may not have known to like kind of take a break when he was like coming up as an artist back in the day. So I think that's a good thing that we know now. We're getting through these quite quickly, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. So this is funny. So this one, tell us something you love and tell us something you hate about Pirate. I always say, who's playing footsie with me? Is that you?
Or
is
that I'm
you?
Oh,
that's fine. Yeah, no worries. That's absolutely fine. As long as it's not you, Dan. it's actually me, because I've got like...
really long legs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. People don't give a shit about this, but I've got I basically caught tendonitis in my knee before it like manifested. I'm very old, and I've had tendonitis a few times before, and it's like debilitating. So I've like been managing it. That's why I'm stretching my leg out, just so you know. That and trying to kick Dan as much as I can. Anyway, so what I was going to come on to say is another one, interestingly, with LA artists and even just the co-hosts, Danny and Kate, and sometimes Noah, quick shout out. They're like, you can't say hate. Like, yeah, it can't be hate. I'm like, yes, of course it can. I need to know what you hate. There must be something you hate about Pirate. You can be creative if you want. Maybe we could start with the hate and then end on the love.
Yeah, I like
that. And yeah, tell us what you got.
I hate that it's not in more cities. Literally, I just want Pirate in Cambridge. Like, it would actually change our city if we had a Pirate Studios in Cambridge. I constantly am telling people about Pirate Studios, and then some people can't. I know Cambridge sounds wealthy, but some people can't get to London. So having a Pirate Studio in Cambridge, and also Coventry, but I'm a bit biased. It's just because I spend a lot of time in these cities and they don't have a Pirate. But Coventry, less important because they've got Birmingham. But Cambridge, I really think it would be a game changer if they had a Pirate Studio. I think you'd see a lot of music come out. People don't have access to spaces and they don't have the inspiration. So that's literally it. Just more. I need more Pirate Studios. I need one in every city. Yeah.
Okay. It's funny. Back in the day, once my role was to expand the business, and now it's predominantly in the US. So, but yeah, we've definitely looked in Coventry back in the day. Yeah. I can't remember why it didn't work out. We found a building. It was on the smaller side. That might have been why, but you're probably right. Proximity to Birmingham just
close,
meant
yeah.
that, you know, we kind of knew that artists could get to Coventry easier.
It's kind of the same with Cambridge, but I think it would change the scene. But wow. No pressure.
What do you do in Cambridge then?
There's
what,
like loads of musicians, but the problem is the city is very focused on academia and the university, which is great, but most people, so like a lot of people don't realize that Inja, he came from Cambridge. Like there's a lot of artists who came from Cambridge, like Pink Floyd are from Cambridge. So it's like there's a lot of people who are from Cambridge who people don't know, and it's because they've had to move out. Even now people think I'm from Nottingham, I have to be like I'm from Cambridge. So yeah, I think it just motivate people, because there's a lot of shows going on, but people aren't able to make music as much.
Yeah.
They're performing it, but not able to create it or have a building they can create it that isn't run. Because, yeah, people run buildings, but then it ends and it finishes. Or like a lot of people come to the city as a DJ, do a couple events, then go to a different city. They're not like stuck there. So yeah, I think it would be good.
Okay. Yeah. Presumably the universities do music programs too.
I think they do, but it's like so gatekept, because I grew up there and I literally had to go to Nottingham, really build my name and come back. I did Glastonbury before I did the main festival in Cambridge. They announced I was doing Glastonbury, then the festival was like, oh, do you want to do our stage too? And that's poor. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's mostly about Cambridge. I feel like it's more about Cambridge than Pirate.
maybe. But I suppose my question earlier was, what do artists think can... Are there studios in Cambridge like that you
not
can use?
Really.
Oh, interesting.
I think they're all with universities or colleges.
Yeah, fine.
And so
okay.
It's like, yeah.
Cool.
And I think it would help with the DJing and stuff. Like, I think there's a lot of young DJs who just need like decks to do stuff, like to vibe and stuff. And I think it'd create a sense of community. But that's it.
Pirate Cambridge coming to you in 2025. Yeah, Swantel Owen. Okay, and then, say the best or last in terms of what would you say you love about Pirate? If anything, you know, you don't have to make anything up. It's okay.
I've had a lot of like core memories and music in Pirate Studios. Like when I was in a collective and we first did O2 Islington, like we came to Pirate, and when I met someone, like even like, you know, when you're leaving the room and someone's entering, I like met a sick DJ through that, and like we still talk and stuff. That was cool. And yeah, for me, because I spend so much time in different cities, every city I'm in, Like, I'll always have a couple hours after a show or the next day, and like I actually utilize my time and go into a studio, even like use it as an office space just to play my, use the speakers and yeah, but then also just record. And yeah, it's been really helpful for when I'm meeting people where we both live in different cities, because we'll just meet in London usually. And I like, I also really like, because I spend a lot of time in different cities, I love seeing how each one's different. I really like that. I like going to Birmingham and see, I didn't know till recently, but the Birmingham one has like food and like equipment you can have. Like, it's really sick. So I love how you go to a different pirate and it's different. And yeah, I just love when I come here and there's just... I like feeling like I'm doing stuff around other people who are doing stuff. Yeah. I think that's another thing I really like. And yeah, I also think it's sick that you offer opportunities. And I've been telling everybody, like, you need to check this residency stuff, because, yeah, it's really good. So I think, yeah, it just keeps me productive. And also, like, a safe studio. It's always been safe. As a woman, like, I think it can be daunting going to studio spaces, but I've never felt that way at Pirate. And yeah, I also like the fact that I don't have to always talk to someone here, because sometimes I'm... like tired and stuff, and I just want to go into a room and do my own thing, and I like that too. I like the 24/7 aspect.
Yeah.
I've literally done like festival. I did tram lines in Sheffield, then we went to Pirate for like 5 hours, and that was cool. I'd like never been to Sheffield, so it was cool to have a space to go.
Love that. Yeah, it's funny, you've touched on a few of the things. You know, we've been going almost 10 years now. We've had, there've been some ups and downs, haven't there, Dan?
There certainly has. Yeah,
but if you know, if Borry were here, the CEO and one of the original co-founders, yeah, he would have said, you know, he would have been like to have hear that you kind of come in and you're like, yeah, sometimes I just don't really want to talk to anyone. Because, you know, that's like it's not all based on that, like the 24-hour self-service nature. It's just that I think that some of his experiences back in the day when he was kind of going into studios was like somebody who disinterested person on the front desk. It's like, oh, it's not really the best start to my session. So that was one thing he kind of took into account. But then, interestingly, it has kind of almost become a little bit of a, not, I wouldn't call it an issue, but you mentioned Birmingham and we've got like a bar there and you can get food and things like that. That is planning to be what Pirate is in the future. Like more of a, you know, a hospitality play than this kind of like very hands-off 24-hour self-service nature type thing. But yeah, it's like it's been a blessing and a curse, the 24-hour self-service nature. It's got us to where we are, but then some people can kind of, what's the word? I say take the piss.
Yeah, you know. I think that's the main problems I've ever had with Pirate is the people and not the actual part, not the facilities. It's other artist who's left their door open while they're DJing, and I've had to be like, yo, can you shut your door? Like, it's never been with the actual facilities and stuff. That's really exciting as well. That's really good to hear.
Yeah, you look, it's coming. Maybe you give us a couple of years, because it takes time to get it right. And
I think the thing with money. Birmingham as well that's going really well is, you know, there's a lot of events happening in the space there now. And we've got obviously Orcs and, you know, various things happening here, and I think that's going to be a big part of where we try and take it as well, is like building that. As you mentioned, there is a sort of energy when you walk into Pirate, you feel the people creating and that creative energy. So trying to kind of get that represented in events and, you know, getting people together, I think is something we need to tap into more. I
always see the I don't know which one you're doing, it might be the Orcs in London where people play their tune and then they choose top. My friends have been going to that, like, it's really sick. It's really cool seeing events. I'd love to see more of that, and I'll definitely come through because it's sick. I'd like to do something as well. I'll talk to you guys properly, but I'd love to do I saw someone did an album, like, or they did like a listening party.
Yeah
I'd love to talk to you guys about something.
Oh, cool.
Like that.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, events and that's on Dan. So, you know, if that, hopefully that.
We'll chat. Also, we should definitely, I mean, we have already, but we should shout out Emma V again, because things like Orcs was her, you know, that's her baby.
Orcs, Mike, Open Sessions. We got an Open Sessions today in Dalston.
Yeah.
I know you need to get off soon, don't you? So I'll tell it.
I think my friend Ben DSP might be coming though, because he mentioned goes to it regularly. So I'm pretty sure he'll be there. But yeah.
Nice. Love it. Okay, so come to the end. You're going to introduce a track. Well, actually, you know what? First, any questions for us? Anything you want to get off your mind?
What's your favourite part about Pirate? Yeah.
Ooh.
Similar to you, we had this like liner copy that we've used in marketing before around, what was it, the best of creativity under one roof. And that's always been the thing that I've loved. I mean, I've worked at Pirate for like 7 years now. And I think the thing that's kept me here is just love of the people that use the studios and just love of the, you know, I haven't been to a Pirate in a while, actually. So coming to Pirate Dalston, even though it's, you know, kind of mid-afternoon, there's not many people here. It's just as like an atmosphere that you step into that I just, yeah, I think you don't really get anywhere else. So yeah, that's kind of what I love about Pirate.
Yeah, I think the cop-out answer I was going to say is the people, because we genuinely do, and by that I mean both the staff, you know, the employees, my colleagues, and the people that we get to work with, like yourself. And it's funny, whenever I speak to someone like who's left Pirate, they're always like, oh, I miss the people, like, you know, that kind of like, trying to think of the word, but just togetherness, and like, you know, we're a fun bunch, but also we know how to work when we need to. And I've obviously completely lost my train of thought. After doing a podcast with Bianca Oblivion, she's a DJ in Los Angeles, during that podcast, she basically said how Pirate had transformed the music, not industry, but like the music, the way that people made music in Los Angeles. She's like, you're making a difference. And I was like, fuck, like, that's massive. So I think, you know, extrapolating that, it's like just being able to, basically letting people come and be creative is what I love about Pirate. So a roundabout way of saying that. But yeah.
Yeah, I do want to say as well, like, it's affordable. Like, I really appreciate that because, I don't know studios that are the same rate, and to have that freedom, like you said, to use the space is, yeah. And I've met so many people outside Pirate just leaving or coming in, like,
yeah,
or been noticed by people, which has been really cool as well. So yeah, it's proper community vibe.
Sweet. Awesome. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to get you to introduce your track.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So on my last EP, I worked with a producer called Zuta on Redemption Songs, and we've got this track that's very introspective about relationships and actually being the toxic one, and it's called I Know by Jay I Had a Dream and Zuta. And who knows, it might change in a bit, but this is where the track's at for now.
Auntie on the phone, I might just fuck up your day. Talk over you till you got nothing to say. I swear I'll be much better than the way I behave. But now I'm itching in my body, I'm just trying to be brave. Steady when I'm climbing this wave. I sting you just to see if I'm still something you crave. It ain't conscious, but I'm learning about myself and my ways. So be honest, I'm the problem, you don't need to explain. You don't need to explain. I know.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jaya, for coming in. When did we start talking? Like, it must have been like 4 months ago or something like that. But I was really keen to get you in. And here we are. Shame MV's not here, but we've got an excellent stand-in here from Daniel Davis. But yeah, I think that's it.